little treat for you guys this week on Mystery Crate. It's crackling again. I gotta get this thing fixed. This thing's not made for... not made for daily use. Yeah. Destroying this equipment. Hey everybody, I'm Mike. Got a special episode today of Mystery Crate. We recorded this a couple of weeks ago. I put it out to one of the moderators on Reddit to come up with a couple questions for Sarah Spain and her husband Brad. That is what you're going to hear on this episode of the Mystery Crate. We've done Reddit AMAs before, but they get all the content. So I decided, let's make use of our diehard online community and turn it into content for ourselves since we are churning out a bunch of Mystery Crates. So here is everything you want to know about Sarah Spain and her husband Brad on this week's episode of Mystery Crate. I say this week's episode, but there's three episodes a week now. I am fried. Anyways, enjoy me moderating an AMA with Sarah and her husband Brad for you, where they answer some of your questions. So I wanted to do this thing on the Mystery Crate because, Sarah, I don't know if you've ever checked the Reddit, and don't ever.
I did once. Don't. Someone sent me there. And then I was like, oh, that's not what they intended me to see. I should have stuck with the one thread that they pointed me to.
So Sarah has been way too kind allowing us into her life. Her husband, Brad, is alongside her right now because I don't know if you guys are aware of this prevailing Reddit theory. It's that you're a billionaire, Brad, and Sarah, ipso facto, also a billionaire. And now I will say I went to a wedding with you guys. Brad was the belle of the ball. Everyone loves Brad. He did kind of dress like a billionaire would in this situation. So at first I was like, no, he's not a billionaire. And then I hung out with him. I was like, okay, really down-to-earth billionaire.
Right, so, yeah.
So, Sarah, are you married to a billionaire?
No, unfortunately.
Yeah, she is, but it's not me.
Her other husband.
Her other spouse, yeah.
Brad's favorite joke during the current pandemic is to say he was a billionaire, but he's lost all of it in the markets.
Not all of it, but
he's been reduced to mere,
right,
you know, multimillionaire status.
Right.
Unfortunately, that is also not true. I just hopped into like a Levitard Zoom, like fan Zoom yesterday, and they were asking me about it and they were asking where it came from. And that's the thing. We can't even point to like a specific reason as to why the random clickbaity website that started this thought he was a billionaire, other than it seemed like they thought he owned At Properties, which he was a realtor at before. But even if he owned At Properties, that would still not make him a billionaire. I think the people who made the website don't really understand the difference between a rich person and a billionaire.
Well, and the websites are written as though they originate sort of in like Eastern Europe somewhere. So I could maybe have a billion rubles. I don't know for sure though.
Brad, this is, in terms of rumor and innuendo, this is quite a flattering one. Does your reputation sometimes...
It could be a lot worse.
Yeah. Does your reputation or perceived reputation sometimes precede you and then you're just left to disappoint people and right?
Yeah, I've let down scores of people.
Including Sarah,
I felt good about the wedding until I thought, what if I had married a billionaire? And that alternate sliding doors life that I've imagined ever since makes it really hard to appreciate what I have. Brad. So the ones that have stood out to me is he's a realtor. So he's like helping someone like rent a place or rent or like find a rental. And one of them like was like, well, I Googled you and, you know, I just want to make sure that like this isn't a lot of money that you're like going to be still interested in helping us. And then he's on the board for the Syrian Action Network
community network.
And like they called a meeting with him and he was pretty sure that they thought he was a billionaire and that they would be able to present him this really impressive plan.
Yeah.
And he would then be able to help them with scores of money that
I had like $3 in my wallet at the time.
So I had to do a bit of research for this, and I before I drag the Reddit and their just general reputation of being overly mean, I crowdsourced a lot of these questions, but I wanted to make sure that we didn't do it in the conventional sense, which would just be me posting on the Reddit soliciting questions, because look, now is the time for decorum. And if we just let anybody in, these questions would have just never got off the ground and they would have been, frankly, insulting. I didn't trust them is what I'm trying to say. So I sent out an alert to a moderator there. He did all the filtering through and we have the best of the best questions. And I was preparing for this interview a little bit too because I follow Brad on social media. He's really embraced this sort of character called the heckler. And I didn't know if he got that going to Cubs games. You guys seem to have an amazing party in Arizona for spring training baseball that I want to get into with you guys. And I don't mean as a question. No, can I get into this thing you guys?
If we're ever able to have it again, you're invited. Yes.
Because it looks amazing. And if hangovers were contagious, you guys would need to self-quarantine because it seems as though you guys really enjoy it. So the heckler came
that
from
party, by the way, that's the original Instagram turns from dashes to dots where Mike was like, listen, Sarah like needs to chill on her Instagram story. It's not dashes anymore. It's dots because there's so many posts. And I was like, okay, there's a couple things you need to know. It was baseball and music, like Eddie Vedder and Branded Horses. But also I was freaking hammered for 4 days in a row. And when you're absolutely blasted out of your mind and having a great time, you think that everything is worth sharing and that everyone wants to know about it.
Yeah. So, but you were involved with a satirical website, The Heckler, right?
Yeah. So I started that in 2003. We still keep it going. It's like a passion project. It's actually how I met Sarah too.
Really? So that actually perfectly leads me into my question, which is, Sarah, how did you guys meet?
So I had just moved back to Chicago from LA. I went to school in New York, moved back to Chicago for a couple months, and then I lived in LA for 6 years. So I had just come back to Chicago, and within like a month, I was working a Blackhawks charity event at a bowling place. Brent Seabrook from the Blackhawks had this charity ice bowl.
It's called Bowling Alleys.
Bowling Alley, yes. It was at a bowling alley, but it wasn't like a bowling alley. It was one of those like fancy.
It was still a bowling alley.
Okay, fine. But
she doesn't want people to think that we met at like a, you know, the local.
I'd be fine with
that. Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, that's the other thing about Brad that's funny is his billionaire status that's fake is not like him at all because his favorite thing is just dive bars and restaurants that might have a C rating that I refuse to go to because I think there's gross things in there. And he's like, that's where the best stuff is.
Yep.
But anyway, so bowling alley event that Brent Seabrook had, and he recognized me from some of my like media stuff at this website I've been working at and some Chicago like Tribune small stuff, and then introduced himself. And I had heard of The Heckler, which for a while was an actual newspaper. And you said at one point you would print like 60,000 per issue.
Yeah.
And they would be in little boxes around the city the way you'd get like a penny saver kind of thing. And then people would subscribe to it too. So I'd heard of it. So then we just started talking. And then months later, well, we became Facebook friends, but didn't really talk. And then months later, he invited me to a Cubs game to talk about possibly working for the heckler. He claims he thought I was cute, but I might be a bitch. That checks. And I thought it was just work because I didn't even remember. Like, I got no vibes when I first met him. And I think it's because it was November and he was wearing pants. And then fast forward to when I met him for the Cubs game, he was wearing shorts.
Not
and
yet.
I really like chicken legs, like long, skinny, lanky, Michael Jordan baseball pants.
Which dog is that? Because you guys love your dogs.
Fletch. Sorry, the dogs are always like wherever we are, unless we lock them away.
I follow Fletch and Banks on Instagram. Is that for public consumption or is that a totally private Instagram handle?
No, totally, totally public. Anyone who wants to follow the adventures of our dogs can follow them.
Where at?
Fletch and Banks.
On Instagram. Yeah. Okay, so it sounds as though Brad was always a fan of Sarah Spain. Many in our audience are wondering if you're still a fan of Sarah Spain, not as a husband and wife, although, look, let's be honest, Sarah, she can be a handful sometimes, but swarmy charm. How do you like that as a host?
You nailed it.
But do you still support Sarah in her media? If she's doing her radio show, do you listen to Spain and Company? Do you listen to That's What She Said, a podcast available on the Levitard and Friends Network?
Yeah, I do. So, you know, she produces a lot of content. So it's impossible for me to listen to all of it, but I do listen when I can, for sure. And I, when she was just starting out, I would, with ESPN, sometimes I would be her camera person, at events and stuff. We interviewed Nelly at the Dallas Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it was really cold. And Sarah said, "Boy, it's not hot in here." And he said, "It's not hot in her." but anyway, yeah, no, of course, I'm a huge fan of her work. And, you know, I try to support whenever I can. It's a lot of content though, man.
He's really useful though, because I have like gaps in my sports knowledge, particularly from like when I was really young, because my parents aren't into sports. So I had to like grow into my love of sports organically. And so like, I'll be like, I remember there was a story I was writing once and I needed an example of an 80s baseball player that was like a fly off the handle character. So I'm like, Brad, 80s baseball player, like kind of like obnoxious guy. And so
I have to pause. Is this one Banks now?
This is
Fletch.
He's got a toy that he wanted and then Banks stole it from him. We can put them away.
No, before
this is like a really organic view into our life, which is just a constant stream of dogs fighting over things or trying to snuggle.
I don't know how people have kids.
Yeah. Well, I got a 7-month-old, but
yeah,
she's not interrupting our interview. So there you have it.
You can go get her.
1 point, 1,000 points for dogs.
Yeah. I won't do the just normal logical transition and ask you about kids. So you don't have to worry about that. Right, it seems as though Fletch and Banks, and there's three dogs. Who am I forgetting?
Haji,
that yeah. They seem to be a handful on their own. So typically in our Miami hub, all the spouses are women because it's just a bunch of guys hosting. So Brad is, outside of Nick, Mina's husband, he's really the only spouse who is a male. So do you know any other male ESPN spouses that are out there? Do you guys have some sort of group chat?
No, although I did trade after Dan's wedding, I did trade a few emails with Nick, Mina's husband.
They loved each other.
We did hit it off really well. It was it was an instant connection. But we were talking about trying to get a Zoom brunch together with the four of us. That hasn't happened yet. I'll have to think about that.
There's not that many women in order for there to be men. So it's more like, you know, all my men, male coworkers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't run into it often. It's a male-dominated field, as you know. And thankfully, my wife really doesn't pay attention to the Reddit, for one, or my social media mentions. But it's hard out here for anybody. It's doubly hard for a woman in this industry. How sensitive are you to criticisms Sarah gets on social media? Just understanding that people are awful to anybody in sports media, but women have an even more unique position in that.
Yeah. So like when we first started dating was when she was, you know, just becoming more and more active on Twitter. And there would be times where, you know, people would be saying awful things and it would like, you know, ruin our dinner plans or whatever, but now she's way better at rolling with it and oftentimes fighting back. But I don't spend a ton of time on Twitter, largely because of that. I mean, as you can imagine, when you're seeing your spouse get skewered by a bunch of idiots, it can leave you feeling rather powerless. You want to you can't track them down, you know? And you also know, like, I mean, I'm sure we've crossed paths in public with a lot of the same people and they never say things like that, you know? So it's just a different vibe. So, I mean, luckily she's great at handling it. I mean, she shouldn't have to handle it, but she is really good at it. So, and I just try to avoid it because I don't have as thick a skin as she does. Not like a physical. I mean, yeah.
That's one of those that you don't add on to it, Brad.
Yeah. I mean, figuratively.
We got what you were saying, but it sounds as though it was a bit of a process for you, and that process sounds like it even still can sometimes be difficult and is still evolving. Sarah, watching Brad go through that as you have gotten tougher and tougher in dealing with this, how much did you lean on Brad? Your rise came along the time that social media was also happening, so people, at least in the early going of Twitter, were overly mean. You put yourself out there in ways that other people don't. You have to be comfortable with some of what you're getting back to be as brazen as you are sometimes on social media.
Well, it's funny because so like when we started dating, we became Facebook friends, like I said. And when Facebook kind of like, when I first joined Facebook, I just accepted every friend request. So he thought that I was like good friends with all these guys that would comment on my pictures in positive ways. And he was like, that's weird. Like, she's
positive, like, but still
like,
creepy.
Like creepy. And he was like, she's got a lot of creepy guy friends. And then I was like, oh yeah, I don't know any of those people. And he's like, oh, that's maybe weirder. I'm like, yeah, it is. But then, yeah, so Twitter came around right when I started working at this startup. And I actually, when I talk to like classes and stuff a lot, I tell them the one nice thing is that unless you're like a contestant on The Bachelor or like a viral sensation, you usually get this like gradual process of going from like not that many people care about you positively or negatively to like growing your brand or your sort of star. So like at the beginning, whenever somebody said something awful to me, like I remember specific phrases like, are you fat or pregnant? Or is it just that dress or like whatever? Like, it really hurt my feelings. And now I get so many of them and there's just so much more positive stuff. And like, it just kind of like you gradually get used to it. So I used to probably rely on Brad Mork when I would be like upset still and surprised by it. But now that I just know that the internet is a flaming pile of crap, I don't really need anyone's support. Like, honestly, I don't, it doesn't really affect me very much when people are mean. It affects me more when I'm misunderstood. I don't like if someone doesn't get the point I'm making. I don't like if I'm being misrepresented. I don't like if people are trying to like do gotcha stuff, but are not actually reporting or saying what I believe in what I've said. That kind of stuff bothers me because I'll own up to whatever you don't like about me. And I'm definitely not everyone's cup of tea. I'm definitely not that person that's like, everybody loves her, you know, kind of hit or miss. And that's fine.
Who is though?
Well, I mean, you know, a couple people, but like, I don't know if I would strive to be the person that everybody likes. I think there's a lot of times that it's worth taking a risk and putting your neck out. And like you said, like, I don't ask for people to be awful to me, but I'm also not going to be scared of talking about issues that I think are important. Even though I know when I talk about them, I'm going to get just destroyed in my mentions. But I'm okay with that.
Sarah has a schedule since she really joined ESPN. It's always been in a constant state of flux. Now she has the radio show Spain and Company, and that's a set time, but it's not at the most convenient time when it comes to family time. And she works really hard. She is constantly traveling. So how do you manage, understanding that you're not a billionaire, because that would be the answer to a lot of these problems? Right. How do you guys navigate her professional with your personal?
Well, we have pretty good understanding and pretty good partnership where we, you know, we spend time together when we can, you know? So like it definitely can be tough, you know, like if she's traveling a bunch and I'm busy with my job, you know, I have to have a job because I'm not a billionaire. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we find a way to make it work. I mean, I do think that like not having kids makes things a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that your schedule isn't normal either. Like, because he's not 9 to 5, then it's not like he's done at 5 and I still have radio till 8 and he's sitting around wanting to hang out. Like, we can hang out during the day and take the dogs for a walk when other people would be at the office, and then not be hanging out at 7 p.m. when other people would like be having dinner. And I think it helps that we are both, we spend a lot of time together. We do things together. Like, we're not the couple where like he goes and watches sports while I like something else. We like all the same things, but we don't
both like The Bachelorette.
Well, that's what I was going to say. But because we both do all those things,
that's all,
then we don't feel like we're like have to be on top of each other. Like, some people I know, they like sit at the dining table and have dinner, and then they go sit on the couch and watch shows that one of them hates. And then they tell everyone like, well, like he always makes me watch whatever. Like, we don't do that. Like, if we don't want to watch the same thing, we just go to different rooms and hang out by ourselves, and we're totally fine with that because we spend a lot of time together doing other stuff. So, like, I don't know. We're both independent enough that we don't need to be on top of each other, like, all the time.
Brad doesn't watch The Bachelorette because he's just Team Bachelor all the way. He doesn't want to bother with
that. Yeah, he's like, 25 women? Sure. 25 guys? I'm good.
Sarah has been a highly decorated member of the media. Highly polarizing, but highly decorated. You should remind everybody constantly. Which is a favorite of Sarah's awards, according to Brad?
I mean, the Sports Emmy's pretty cool. The Peabody's cool, too. She got one from a women's, or like girls in the game or something like that, as like a life champion.
Yeah.
Which I'm not still sure what that means, but, you know, every award is a great award, right?
Yeah. Sarah, which award have you not won yet that you got your eyes on?
Well, I have won 2 SUI awards, so that was the pinnacle I was really going for. I'm glad that finally happened for me. What award? I mean, first of all, you know, if we're counting sports Emmys as Emmys, then I'm, you know, 1/4 of the way to an EGOT. I just need to start working on some of the other. I don't think there's any sports Grammys. Sports. If there was a sports Grammy, then the Commish Rap would have already clearly won that. So I need to stop leaning on the sports category and go for a full fledged Oscar, Grammy, Tony sweep.
Now you guys weren't married when the Cubs won the World Series, or were you?
Oh yeah.
No. Yeah, we were. Yeah.
Okay. So you were married. What kind of memories do you have outside of Chicago? I think even have an understanding of how huge that Cubs victory was. And Sarah is a monster Cubs fan, and you are too, being that you make an annual pilgrimage out to their spring training every year.
Yeah.
What is your favorite memory as a married couple while the Cubs are going through that run?
Wow. That's a good question. Well, you have an answer, I can tell.
I always have an answer to everything. Well, I was just going to say, like, it was, for me, it was always, I always got nervous thinking about working and balancing what I thought of when I imagined if the Cubs were ever to win. So I remember I had just joined ESPN 1000, the local radio, the first time the Blackhawks won, and I had to wake up at 6 a.m. and stand outside the bar that they had flown home after winning on the road, straight to the bar and kept partying and see if any of them would wander out at 7 a.m. to go home and like try to interview them. Oh, and I was crazy hungover because I had also celebrated that night them winning. And so I kept thinking, if the Cubs win and I've got to like work the whole time and work the whole day, like it won't feel like I got to share it with my family and friends. So it ended up being perfect. We went to all 7 games. And the ones at home, I worked pre and post for SportsCenter, but got to go into the game with Brad. And then we were on the road in Cleveland, and our friend had, long story short, managed to get a suite for every game set up before the series even started. He had it set up in each of the possible teams that they might have faced because he had a hookup because he was trying to create like a Groupon for suites. Anyway.
Again, so, not a billionaire.
No.
Right. But we actually, I mean, we got him for cost, right? So it was like, it was less than like a standing room ticket, and we were in suites.
Yeah,
so
you just display billionaire behavior, but not, yes, exactly. Not actual billionaires.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was awesome. And then like they had already said we don't need you for away games, and then like right before game 7, they're like, actually, can you work? And I was like, I mean, I could, but like I already have a ticket that I paid for, and they're like, okay, just do X or Y. So I got to balance like just being a fan and celebrating all night with everybody and Bill Murray and Ricketts and everybody else, but also like got to work it and represent my city by doing the pre and post stuff. So it was, that was cool.
Okay. You did not one particular thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not entirely sure there was one particular memory there.
Oh, yeah, memory.
I mean, just if I had to boil it down, it would just be the, however many minutes it was of after the rain delay in game 7. I mean, we were sitting next to each other and just like, the emotional roller coaster of all that. And then the way it all kind of came together, and then I got to stone cold Steve Austin, a bunch of Bud Lights, or maybe they were Budweiser's by that point. I don't know that if I had to boil it down to one moment, it was just that extra inning, portion of it.
How many photos of the celebration are prominently displayed in your home?
Oh, I don't know if any actually.
We have one with the flag from game, like whatever game, earlier game. But I actually have all these memories in a box that I'm trying to get into one of those light boxes. It's like a frame, but it's deeper. Because like Pedro Gomez saved a cork from both the World Series locker room and the pennant winning locker room for me. And then when we parted after they won the pennant on the rooftop at Murphy's with all of them, one of the people that had been in the locker room dropped a t-shirt and hat that were soaked in champagne in like a planter and then forgot them. So I grabbed those. So like photos and ticket stubs and all that. So I have it all to like put in a big light box. I just haven't actually done it yet. Now would be a good time, I guess, now that I'm...
Quarantine project.
Yeah, quarantine project. There's one for our wedding too, and I haven't done that either, so...
I think a lot of people in the audience can sort of empathize with that. I still haven't put together like the full wedding album, and I'm going close to like 10 years.
Wow.
So,
that'll be a 10-year anniversary gift.
Sarah's obviously immensely talented. Things are going to happen in her career, whether we hopped on the rocket ship or not. Thankfully, we're getting some credit for helping Sarah's career. We got good stock advice and we got in early on Sarah Spain. So, I remember she was still doing like being underutilized at ESPN Chicago as an anchor person. Meanwhile, we're bringing her in as a co-host. When did the Levitard show really appear on your radar? Did you know about the show before Sarah was becoming a part of it? Did you then throw yourself into the show? Do you hate the show? Do you get the show?
So, all right, my first Dan Levitard experience. I was in Miami for the Super Bowl. That actually Sarah was at too, and I was driving. I was there for work because my old job, I used to work for StubHub.
This was way before we knew each other.
Yeah, well, not way before.
Like a year and a half.
Right. And I remember driving in like a rental car, listening to it, and I thought it was interesting, but at times Dan would kind of like raise his voice to make a point, and it sort of was like, huh, what's up with this dude? And then I didn't really think about it again. I'd see him on TV, you know, whatever. And then once Sarah and I got together and she started getting, like, she listens, you know, constantly. She'll listen if she's like 3 days behind. And then, so we're I'm hearing things that I'm like, wait, didn't that happen a week ago? She's like, well, yeah, I'm getting,
catching up.
She's getting caught up. So, I'm a huge fan. I mean, meeting everybody in person at Dan's wedding was a great experience. And I can't say anything, derogatory other than my initial reaction was that Dan got a little, you know, high pitched too often, but that was
tone.
Yeah, it was tone. So yeah, and I would not say I get the show to, even though I get a lot of, you know, I maybe get it by osmosis, but not a lot of firsthand stuff.
I think I know what's going on here. A lot of Chicago people hated Dan and just Miami in general. It was the big three, Seth, wasn't it?
No, so it's funny because when I went on your show, I didn't listen to it, but I remembered that they played clips on Waddle and Sylvie about Dan and Stu making fun of Stu having a Waddle jersey. And it was Dan saying, why Tom Waddle? And then I looked up what Stugatz was and I'm like, wait, this Jamoke's name is like Wiener. And then you guys had me on, and then I started listening, and this guy, Jeff Meller, he's one of the producers in ESPN 1000. You're his favorite show by far. So he was so excited that I was going on, and then he was like, oh, here's, you know, so they don't end the segments by like tagging out and teasing. So like, remember to just shut up, which I totally didn't do the first time. I was like, oh shoot, I messed that up. So yeah. And then once I was on, I was like, I should probably listen. Like I remember I was on the club. And I was asking Dan, thinking we were off the air, what's this? And then he was like telling me, okay, we play a bunch of clips. And like, then I was like, oh, we're on the air right now. Whoops. So, then I started listening and now Brad is right. I listen to every single show except for sometimes I get so busy that I get behind, which leads me to text Dan like a week later. Hey, I was just listening to your show from last week. I did not steal Rex Chapman from you. I wasn't stealing your guests. I had him scheduled before you, and then he couldn't figure out how to use a computer, so he couldn't come on until 5 days
later. Social media wizard couldn't figure out how to use a computer.
Yeah, the number of times I'm listening to your show and wishing that I was Amin so that I could chime in, because Amin listens live every day, and I don't have time to do that. I have a billion things to do. So I'm always listening after the fact and like, oh, I knew that. I would have called in, or I would have like yelled at Dan, or I would have said that was wrong, but alas. But I listen to every show.
Sarah, I noticed when you were going through the awards, being portrayed on a Juju Gotti custom t-shirt wasn't one of the awards that you mentioned.
So
how high is that on the list?
Amazing. I was crying full tears. That picture I posted for Hear the Cheers, that is just so hideous. Braces.
Oh, right. Yeah, I saw that.
Juju Gotti, I showed it to you. He turned it into a t-shirt and wore it to a music festival. I sent it to all my friends and it was like full tears. First of all, Juju Gotti's Instagram is brilliant. Like, so awesome.
Legitimately, is a level of brilliance to it.
So smart. That is the highest honor.
I actually see that photo every day because on my Amazon, like screensaver, do you guys have that for your Fire Sticks?
Yeah.
So once I had, there's a way that instead of seeing just landscapes, I put like a bunch of memorable photos. And one of the memorable photos is my wife, Cynthia, posing with Juju Gotti at that music festival. And he was wearing Sarah. So I see Sarah on my TV.
I apologize. It's a rough time for me. I really, listen, I'm still hoping to peak at some point, but that was definitely nowhere near the peak. That was, I had a very awkward adolescence. It contributed a lot to my personality now is, being 6 feet tall with braces, crazy frizzy hair, and like, you know, lady parts that I was not yet ready for.
Brad, Sarah is very tall and strong, not just emotionally, but physically too. Did you have a type? And if so, like, how many of Sarah are there?
There's only one. I didn't necessarily have a type, but I definitely found myself dating shorter women, and not just shorter than her, but like shorter in general, like women I would like tower over. It just sort of happened that way. She's by far the tallest woman that I dated. And I grew up in a rural farming community in Wisconsin. And she's still also the most physical.
Athletic.
We'll call it athletic, yeah.
I love that she fed you the right answer before you went down a hole.
Brad used to say when he dated short girls, he liked it because it made him feel like an NBA player. So I apologize to him for, I suppose, not giving him that. But
yeah. Instead, I married a WNBA player.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Brad's 6'5". You guys enter a room and people know. And that's not just because Sarah's loud.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Not because they could hear me from the other room. No, it's true. And it's funny because we have a lot of shorter friends. And like, if it's people we don't hang out with all the time, sometimes we'll just be standing and all talking in a circle. And they'll just be like, God, you guys are so tall. Like, they'll just say that because I realize that their necks hurt because they're looking up.
We have some short friends that we take pictures with, and we drop to a knee.
Yeah, we look like they're our children.
Well, hopefully we answered all the questions that Reddit had. Brad, thank you so much for doing this.
We probably didn't answer all of Reddit's questions, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Not all of them. The best ones. How many people refer to you as Mr. Spain?
Well, one is too many. So let's just say too many.
We went on vacation right after our wedding, like a little mini moon, and everything was booked under my name because it's like my parents have like a timeshare thing. But everywhere we went, they'd say, you know, Mr. Spain, Mrs. Spain, and we wouldn't correct them. It was so great.
I didn't even correct him.
My guess is he's starting to get used to it, which isn't a bad thing. That's good for Sarah's career anyways.
Yeah, it's turned into a therapy session. I like it.
Yeah.
What do we owe you?
You've done enough. Brad, not a billionaire. Sarah, not a billionaire by marriage either. Although Sarah has this whole like history with like the railroading industry where Sarah actually might be closer to a billionaire, really, if we started looking through it. That's an episode for another day. Thank you guys so much for doing this.
Billionaire, look it up.
What do your sleeves say? I'm trying to figure that out.
Oh, it's a Beach House. It's a band that I like.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You should listen to them. Haunting. Haunting.
Haunting.
All right. Yeah,
I like Haunting. Brad, not so much.
That'll do it for us on this episode of Mystery Crate. Coming up on Friday, Anthony Calatayude and Peter Rosenberg talk hip-hop. That's right. Anthony gets his own episode of the Mystery Crate, so you should be really excited about that. If I were talking to Peter Rosenberg, I'd just bore you with more wrestling talk, which, by the way, previous episode of Mystery Crate, you can always go back into the archives. I interviewed Jonathan Sonnen about Ken Shamrock's wrestling career. That was the entire episode. We've interviewed Tony Khan. Lots of wrestling here for you, but you're going to have to dig. But a whole archive of Mystery Crates for your entire perusal. Subscribe, rate, review. Let us know if you like it. Thanks again. Be back on Friday.